when approaching our life to remember the Buddha's first teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths. The first of which is the truth of difficulties, suffering, problems. He's speaking to the human world when he outlines the first noble truth. And the second noble truth, the entirety of the noble truths is given to the human world. The second truth is there is a path. And if we're going to continue to take great heart and open into the full possibilities of a human life, our work is to discover our path, not before it unfolds, but reflecting on the unfolding as it surprises us, as it emerges from ever-changing conditions. This applied to the world 500 years before the Common Era, and it applies to our very moment. The conditions have changed tremendously, but as far as the human mind and heart goes, we are faced with the same challenge. There is a path. Every step is the path. Every step, the only step, is complete. So what is the next step? This is where we begin to practice with Don't Know Mind. So I want to talk a little bit about Don't Know Mind, which can be, we can easily say, uncertainty. Well, yes, everything is uncertain. Everything is uncertain. But I want to propose that Don't Know Mind is something even more mysterious than what it first appears to be. What is Don't Know Mind? I think we make a mistake if we make any assumptions that we know what it is. We can't assume that we know what Don't Know Mind is, or that we can encompass it. What is it that we don't know? Who doesn't know? Here we wander into the same territory that is covered by the teaching on great doubt, one of the conditions for awakening, for being fully present, is being saturated with great doubt, which is not skeptical doubt. great doubt and don't know mind refer to what in your own experience? I repeat this because I think it's so important to understand how central cultivating a mind that does not know, the mind that does not know, that is not about knowing. The act of knowing is separating. It's a separating. Knowing mentally, the way we tend to know. The exception to that is when we know someone in the biblical sense. That's pointing to knowing in body, knowing with a great heart, with great love, as is. Body, mind, heart. There's no edge to that kind of knowing. Just as there is no edge to great doubt, there's no edge to don't know mind. These are a lot of words that hopefully are pointing to this mystery that is our life. And the mystery, the profound mystery that is consciousness. Consciousness which can only be studied in a very limited way. Consciousness that we have until very recently, we Westerners assumed was restricted to humans. And we're now discovering, no, all of life is sentient. My mind and the mind of the ladybug co-arise in the great vast mind. There's a co-arising in the present moment of all of life and the mind of all of life. I say that as a statement, but actually I'd like to correct that because we each need to look into that for ourselves. What is this mind that does not end with the little me, but goes out beyond, includes all of the beyond? I was watching a film about the Kogi tribe in Colombia, who are very concerned that they share their Aboriginal wisdom about the earth and about what it is to be a human being with us Westerners, who they call little brother. The dignity of their natural way of life is profoundly affecting. And one of the elders said, "To think is to listen." They have a very different way of framing of experiencing consciousness and the world. To think is to listen. That to us can sound like those are two different things, but to think is to listen seems to me to be an important koan to be dropped into the heart of our own experience. What does it mean to think is to listen? opening first to the sounds that the ear hears. This is our thought. This is thinking that goes way beyond our own internal monologue and includes all the voices in our own mind stream. All the voices of the world are our mind stream. We cannot think in this way in a hurry with a demand thinking in this way. We don't go anywhere right here. As opposed to the thinking we often, that we generally point to as thinking, and that leads to the stress and strain and violence of our way of life. So this is a quote from Thomas Merton. "There is a pervasive form of contemporary violence to which the idealist easily succumbs." And I would include, that's what we're all wrestling with, is the idealism that we are habituated to when approaching the issue of climate change. "There is a pervasive form of contemporary violence to which the idealist easily succumbs, activism and overwork. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. More than that, it is cooperation in violence. The frenzy of the activist neutralizes their work for peace. It destroys her inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of your own work, because it kills the root of inner wisdom that makes work fruitful. Busyness as violence lies at one end of the tension that pulls at us as spiritual practitioners. We must do something, and yet the very must do neutralizes our ability to truly think. In the matter of to think is to listen. Because in a certain way, in our usual way of approaching the current situation, we're spectators. And a spectator steps is standing apart from what is being seen. But the direction we're heading is toward the intimate, where there is no separation. As in what comes up when you hear a kangaroo crying. That is true thought in the way I've been talking about it. When there is no separation, there's no looking on. Which brings us to the idea of bearing witness. When we bear witness, we are not separate. Bearing witness means we are of one body. We are being affected. We are being moved. We are being guided. We are prompted to engage our life energy. This is different from solving a problem. It comes from a very different ground. It comes from the flesh body, from the energy body, from the beating heart body. It comes forth, it opens us to the journey that the earth is taking altogether with us. We are all journeying together. Humans, rocks, clouds, ocean. All the many species that are going extinct. This is definitely unknown. Unknowable, open. The beating heart of the present moment. We cannot be in a hurry. We don't want to hurry through this moment. Not in this way. Sitting here in Zazen, we have a rare opportunity to think, to listen.